Seated, take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 37. We are in the midst of a series on Wednesday night on how to get along with people. The Bible talks about living peaceably with all men, and it's living peaceably tonight. We're talking about living peaceably with those who do not give us what we want. Living peaceably with those who do not give us what we want. And I think you'll see where we're headed here shortly. But Psalm 37, we're going to read the first six verses. You follow along silently, and then I'm just going to teach. Keep your Bibles open, because we'll come back to this. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgments as the noonday. Now, if you'll look at me for a moment, people like to fuss with each other. Some people think it's a hobby. But really, you say, well, why do people fuss so much? I can tell you, it basically boils down to two words: unfulfilled appetites. Unfulfilled appetites. We have an appetite to get something, and someone does not give us what we want, therefore it creates strife. We expect somebody to do something for us because we did it for someone or for them or whatever. And when it does not come back to us, the appetite we have is not satisfied. Now, in other words, we want treated a certain way. And when we don't get treated that way, we get hurt feelings and we start fussing. Sound familiar? All right, we went from preaching to meddling in the first sentence. The best way to not have contention this way is for us to not have appetites outside of our ability to have them fulfilled. Let me say that again. Did you know that if you don't create an appetite for something, you won't want it? Some of you ladies have created an appetite for chocolate. All right? You say, no, that's God-given. No, it's not. If they never make chocolate again, I would be fine. My wife will tell you, she hates grocery shopping. Because she said, what do you want? Whatever you make. I really never have had cravings for food. There's not a certain food that I crave. You say, what food do you crave? Whatever she's making. If she made the same thing every day, I would eat it and never say a word. I really wouldn't. And she would say, oh, that's boring. I know she'd get bored with it before I would. It doesn't matter. Now, the same is true with our emotions, though. Emotionally, we build up things that we create an appetite for something, and we expect people to give it to us that way. And we live our life with hurt feelings because we don't get what we built an appetite for. Boy, that's a good statement. Let me bring it down to where everybody lives. Being rich can be defined two ways. Actually, it can be defined one way: balancing the desires with the possessions. When your desires and your possessions meet, you are rich. Doesn't matter if you make $10,000 a year. Doesn't make if you make $10 million a year. You can be rich when your possessions and your desires meet each other. Everybody got that? All right, now hang on. This means you're rich and can get, if you're rich, you can buy all you want. Or you can be rich by wanting all you have. I help people a lot with finances, personal finances. I work with pastors with their church finances, and I've run church budgets for 30 years. I have worked with millions and millions and literally hundreds of millions of dollars. Can I tell you something? There's only two ways to fix a financial problem: more income or less outgo. You decrease the outgo, increase the income, you're okay. Some of you think that means, oh, I get another credit card, I have more to spend, I just increased my income. No, that means more outgo. Just because you can put it on plastic and not see it till the bill comes due doesn't mean you increased your income. I don't care what your FICO score is. Everybody doing all right? God tells us here in Psalm 37, verse number 4. I'm going to teach you something that's probably been so mistaught that people don't understand. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Most people will tell you that means this: well, if you delight in the Lord, you can ask God for what you want, he's going to give it to you. That is not what the Bible says. Let me say it this way. God's not a genie in the bottle, and you rub the bottle when you feel like it, and he pops out and gives you whatever you want. That's what most people view prayer as. Then, when they don't get it, they get mad at God and say, well, God doesn't hear and answer my prayers. Now, if we delight in pleasing him, the Bible says he will give us the desires of our heart. Let me bring that down to where we live. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will change what your desires are.
Oh, that's good.
He will give you what to desire. When you delight in the Lord, he gives you the want for the right things. Everybody doing okay? He didn't say he'd give you everything you want. He said he would give you the right desires. Boy, that's good. Christians often get upset with God because they don't get what they want from God. Did you know sometimes what you want isn't good for you? Anybody that's ever parented a child knows that's true. Well, I want this. That's not good for you. You're not going to get it. But I want it. Doesn't matter. Just because you want it doesn't make it right. Just because you want it, it might mean you got to wait a while before you get that. An 8-year-old shouldn't be driving the car. They want to, but they shouldn't. Say why? Because it's not time for them. Boy, that's good. I'm feeling lonely.
Amen.
In other words, God sometimes wants to change our desires or our wants so that life won't be as difficult. I better not make that statement. Here we go. Most everyone does not have the ability to fulfill their desires by getting everything they want. Most people don't have an income or an ability to get everything they want in life. Now, we can either be grumpy and fussy over that because we don't get everything we want, or we can change what we want. It's that simple. Every person can balance the equation in their own life. When your possessions and your desires match. Some of the problem is this: you won't change your desires. That means you're not delighting in the Lord. Because God says if you'll delight in the Lord, he will change your desires. Now, our desires are the same as the word appetites. We all have different tastes. This is true in food. I've said that before. You know, I like chicken livers and chicken hearts. I like rare steak. My wife won't touch any of the three of those. She makes me even take it off the broiler, off the grill that way, because she doesn't want to touch them. No problem. She likes her meat medium well, which means it tastes like my boot right there. And that's all right. I don't criticize her. She doesn't criticize me. We have different tastes. Does that make sense? She likes coconut. I hate coconut. You can coconut shrimp. What a way to ruin shrimp. Nasty. I don't even like the smell of coconut. My wife's tried certain recipes that's got it in it, and I'll say, you got coconut in that. I'm not eating that. I can smell it. She's tried. She tried to slide it in. I just don't like it. It just, you can say all you want, but I don't like it. Now, there are other people, they don't like what I like. I don't care. God didn't make us to have the same tastes. It's true in clothing. People have different tastes and styles of clothing. I don't buy things for my daughter because we have different styles. And I'm just not going any farther with that. People have different tastes in cars. Some like Ford, some like Chevy, some like Dodge, some like whatever. Okay, everybody has their own taste in cars. People have their own taste in decorating. Some of you all like the old country look. Some of you, you wouldn't want anything in your house that looked country. You like the contemporary, the mod look. You like the colonial look. You like, and we all have different taste in decorating. Guess what? None of them are wrong. It's just according to our taste. The same is true about hobbies. Leanne likes knitting. Now, to me, tying knots in rope doesn't make sense to me for a hobby. If I'm going to tie a knot in a rope, it's going to be put around deer neck and drag him out of the woods. Hoorah! I don't need one knot. I don't need one of those things to do all that stuff with either. Now, she enjoys that. I like sticking my hands in a deer gut and ripping its guts out and doing all that stuff, butchering it up. Here we go. You have fun your way. I have fun my way. We have different tastes in fun. No problem. We have different tastes in work. Brother Scott likes HVAC and all that kind of stuff. Brother Joe, he likes electrical. Brother Sam, he's a truck driver. Brother Harry, he just doesn't like work. No. He's been involved in police and military and security work his whole life. Now, wait a minute. Just because they have different jobs doesn't mean, and they have different taste of work, doesn't mean that they're bad people. They're just different tastes. Psalm 34 does not say if you want something, God's going to give it to you. By the way, that's these health and wealth preachers. Oh, just give it to Jesus and he'll give you everything you want. Give this much money to the church and God will give it to you. That's a bunch of garbage. Anybody says that, they're a heretic and it's not in the Bible. Just so you know. I laugh about it. Oh, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. Didn't work real well for Jesus. They hung him on a cross. That means this. Having nice things is not bad. Being foolishly in debt with high interest to where you're strapped all the time is not wise. God tells us in Psalm 37:4 that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us what to want. He'll give us the right appetites. And we'll have an appetite for something for which we can fulfill. Too many people create an appetite for something they cannot fulfill. Illustration. I've used it before. I'll use it again. My wife and I recently just traded in our blue Ford Fusion, and I got me a red Ford Fusion. I'm paying less for this one than I did for the last one. I had the ability to buy the Mustang I want, but I didn't buy it. I didn't create an appetite for it. Would I like it? Who wouldn't? I love the Ford Mustang. Matter of fact, there was a Cobra GT350. They only wanted $64,000 for it. Yeah, you sat in. I didn't have enough. I knew Evan had been there and sat in that one, and I said, I'm not even going to sit in it because I'm going to create an appetite I cannot fulfill. Yeah. I walked over to the other one. It was within about $1,000 or $2,000 of what my car was going to be. And I looked at it and I said, it's two-door, not practical for what I do. I carry people around. I have host pastors. I host a lot of people. And I don't need them crawling in and out of a two-door car into a back seat just because I want a Mustang. I can't afford both. So guess what I got? I got the Fusion. I have not created an appetite for that. Does that make sense to everybody? that's what John 15:7 is all about. Abide in me, and my words abide in you. You shall ask of the Father what you will, and he'll give it unto you. Notice what he says, abide in me. And my words abide in you. That means you will then ask for things that the Father can give you. Not just that you want.
That's right.
That's what Romans 8:28 is all about. All things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. He didn't say everything was good. He said, but he'll take what there is, you'll find the good in it, and you'll go forward with that and build on from that. He didn't say he was going to make everything good. God can't do that because we messed it up with sin. And it's not his fault, it's our fault. I got to keep going here. The wise Christian will not allow himself to have desires and appetites that cannot nor should not be fulfilled. This will also keep most... By the way, if you keep your desires within the will of God, you can have anything you want. It's that simple. We often, though, expect people to think as we do, when in reality, nobody else does. Now, I'm going to get to the nitty-gritty of the lesson here. Did you know I don't expect Brother Sam to think the way I think? You're probably better off. I don't expect that. You say, why? We've taken two different paths in life. Now, we have some things that are similar, but we don't think alike in every area. God knows I don't think alike with any woman. I'm not a woman. Amen. My five favorite words in the English language. Thank God I'm a man. No, I don't think, but I've worked with enough ladies all through the years. I've learned a little bit about how ladies think. Sometimes they don't even know how they think. And it's okay. You say, preacher, do you understand? Yeah, I understand. Sometimes you don't understand. It's okay. I understand. You got everybody confused, including yourself. That's okay. We'll live with it. Now, wait a minute. We go through life and we create strife because we expect everybody to see life through our eyes. We expect people to think as we think. And it doesn't happen that way. So I've got four things here I want to give you real quick, I think, three or four at least, and I'll make it quickly. Number one, we want the same type of love that we give. We have strife when we want to be loved the way we love. Jesus in John 21 looked at Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? Isn't it amazing that that the sinless Savior looked at Peter and said, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. He said, no, you don't. You don't love me the way I love you. Matter of fact, if you look at it in the Greek, Jesus uses the word agape and Peter uses the word phileo. He said, Peter, do you love me like God loves you? And he said, Lord, you know I'm fond of you. You know I love you like a brother. He said, no. Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, I love you. You're my friend. I love you like my friend. He said, no. Don't you love me the way I love you? If Jesus had to ask Peter that, and Jesus was perfect, guess what? Ain't no chance in the world none of us are going to love each other right. Or the same. Jesus was not asking Peter to love Jesus that way so that Jesus could receive the love. Jesus was teaching Peter to love the way Jesus loved. He said, I want you to experience real love by giving. Our appetite should be to love someone deeply rather than to be loved deeply. Let me say that again. You learn to love by loving deeply, not expecting to be loved back. If you expect to be loved back, can I tell you something? You are going to be very disappointed throughout your entire life. There are times even your own children will not love you the way you love them. There are times where your spouse may not love you the way you love them. Don't answer that one. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter how you get loved back. Love is satisfied in giving, not in receiving. If you love to be loved, you did not truly love. And it will be unfulfilled. I can love people who sometimes have turned on me. I can love my enemy who hates my ever-loving internal organs. I can love the people who have written all over my truck in days gone by. I can love on people who have done evil to me. Say why? Because my love is satisfied in giving, not in getting. My wife and I just in the last, and I'll say a couple years, that way you have no idea, had someone who viciously attacked us, a family. They went through a tragedy. My wife and I sent flowers to their home, not in public, but to their home. And I'll be hanged, about 3 weeks later, we saw that person. And it was one of those you didn't know whether to duck or pucker. Because usually it's duck. And they walked over with tears in their eyes and thanked us. I was able to love without expecting to be loved back. You see, that's what God's talking about here. A wise person has an appetite to love. They don't have an appetite to be loved. When you build an appetite to be loved, you are going to be very unfulfilled in your life. I have found this, though. The more I love, the more love I get back. But loving can always be fulfilled. Being loved cannot be fulfilled all the time. Did you know that you can love somebody who does not love you? Each of us expresses love differently. So expecting to be loved the way you have an appetite to be loved is dangerous. Me. You're going to stay upset with people because they don't love you the way you love them, if that's what you're expecting back. Let me show you what I mean. Let me pick on somebody. This is not funny, but I'm just going to use a couple random people here. Chris, when I say the word love, what's the first person or first thing you think of? Okay. Scott, when I say love, what do you think of? Your Harley. So while I'm preaching on love, he's thinking about a motorcycle and she's thinking about heaven. See the difference? Sam, when I say the word delicious, what do you think of? Cake. All right. Not bad. Mrs. Barnes, what do you think of? Chocolate. I knew that one was, I didn't even have to ask that one. Okay, he's thinking about cake, she's thinking about chocolate. Now, if it was chocolate cake, they'd be on the same thing. But if not, we're on two different worlds here. Can I tell you something? Nobody thinks the same way. Even about the same word. And yet we expect, well, I'm talking about something delicious. He's thinking about cake. She's thinking about chocolate. And he could get upset with her because she gets chocolate for them and he wants cake and she wants chocolate. Then we're going to have a fuss over this because we didn't express it the same way. So you two quit fighting with each other. Now, in other words, we then start getting hurt feelings because people don't express their love to us the way we think they should. I have never one time said, well, they really don't love me. Look what they did. I don't worry about how they love me. I want to love them. Last Sunday, Bailey came through the door and she had me one of those big old long beef sticks. Glory to God. Heart attack on a stick, but it's worth it. Amen. You say, what'd you do? As I have eaten that this week, and it's all gone, I thought about every time I took a bite of that, I thought of Bailey bringing it to me saying, preacher, I love you. Whew, I'll take that any day. I think they brought Brother Josh chocolate. He can eat all the chocolate. She said, I know preacher doesn't like chocolate, so I'll get him something else. That's called being loved. But had she brought me chocolate, I'd have been loved anyway. Everybody understand that? It doesn't have to be expressed the same way. When you face a difficult time, don't expect people to do for you how you have treated others. I say this often. You called somebody and you mushed all over them. Great. That's how you expressed your love. But if somebody brings you brownies and they don't mush all over you, not the brownies, the person, don't get upset. The ladies have lost babies to miscarriage. People have lost loved ones. And I tell them all the time, don't listen to what people say. Just accept the fact they said something. People really don't know how to comfort. Most people don't know what to say. And may I say this, they can hurt you. You ladies that have had babies, every woman that ever had a baby that's older than you, you've gotten every one of their pieces of advice because they give it to you whether you wanted it or not. Oh, you got to do this. Say what? No, you just do as you've been told by your doctor and do what you and your husband are planning to do. If you need help, come see me. And if I can't help you, I'll point you in the right direction. Say, why is that? Because if we're not careful, we expect everybody to do it the way we did it. Grandparents, be careful. If your kids don't rear their kids the way you reared yours, don't get too upset. They're not you.
Amen.
There you go. Getting a little lonely up here. Learn to accept people's expressions of love and look past whether it was done the way you wanted it or not. Brother Mike, somebody's going to say something, or has already, about your brother going to heaven that could hurt. Forget what they said, just accept the fact they said it. Say why? Because they didn't know they hurt you. That's just how they expressed it. I got to hurry. Number two, whew. We want the same expression of love that we give. It's very similar to the last. If you want what you have given, you will be disappointed through most of your life. Many marriages have strife because a wife wants love expressed to her the way she expresses her love to him, And he wants love expressed to him the way he expressed it to her. And that's why they don't understand each other. She wants you to come home and listen to her for 10 minutes, talk about how wonderful and pretty and what this smelled like and what it looked like, what it felt like, how it tasted, this, that. She's going to give you all the details. Then you're going to say, well, I could fix that. She didn't want it fixed. She just wanted to talk about it. Quit trying to fix everything. Quit trying to interrupt her and finish the statement. Quit saying, is there a point to all of this? Just let her get it out. There's probably no point in it. It's just a circle. It just keeps doing this. If you ever hunted a rabbit, you know what I'm talking about. It kind of goes in a loop. You know, you just wait for it to come back around. It's okay. It'll come back. In other words, you're going to stay upset with each other because you want everybody to express love the same way you express it. In other words, you build up a desire for something to be expressed to you. How about you build up a desire to give and not worry about what you get? In other words, she wants to talk for 10 minutes and you want her to give you a box of 100 grain 243 rifle shells for deer season. You know, just give me a box of shells. It's okay. Boom. Here we go. I'm ready for the next thing. When's dinner? No, she wants to talk about it a while. We should not expect the opposite gender to think like us. I'm going to touch this politically here. This is where mental homosexuality comes in. Fellas, you better thank God your wife doesn't think like you.
Amen.
God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. By the way, there are presidential candidates who were on the debate last night that have said that if they get in office, any church that preaches, any pastor who will not marry the sodomites, they'll lose their tax status. Well, I'll go to jail over it, but I'm not marrying them.
Amen.
Yeah, that's it. I can have church with pay taxes. I don't give a flip. Can I tell you something? We want everybody to think the same. That's not true. God never said think in unison. He said think in harmony. Harmony is two different sounds that work together, that play together well. It's two or more things working together in a chord. But got it? Fellas, don't expect her to think like you. You better be glad she doesn't think like you. Have you ever been around those guys that think like a woman? You don't want to be around them very long. Have you ever been around those women that think like a man? I don't want to be around them either. In other words, let's not try to get them to think like us or express like we do. We cannot expect young people to express love and thoughts and actions the way older people do. This is why teenagers and adults struggle. Teenagers are more kid than they are adult. I want to laugh. They're in a big turmoil over whether Leroy Malvoy, the guy that shot 16 people as a 17-year-old, should still have life sentences because he was 17 and not 18. Somebody tell me what a few months of life makes a difference when he took 16 lives. We are wondering too many things. The action is the issue, not the motive.
Right.
We're getting into this motive-based society. The motive is not the issue. Say, well, what if that were your son? He should face the same punishment.
Amen.
In other words, we need to accept the expression no matter whether we like it or not. Sometimes teenagers grunt at you. That's their expression of love.
Amen.
Just be glad they still grunted. Some of them, well, we won't go there. By the way, that's one reason I love how we've done our Ladies' Blessing Board. Some churches have their little programs, and every year you fill out all of your favorites and give them to somebody, and you draw names, and you spend the next 12 months trying to buy everything on that list that's their favorite. We don't have any lists. Because all you do is grab a name, buy something that you may not even know the person real well. Who cares? It's not what you get. It's the fact that you expressed love. And by the way, some of you have enjoyed some things you wouldn't have tried because it would never have been on your list. Some of you have increased your list because you didn't have a list. Number three, I've got to hurry. I'll finish with this. We desire the same logic that we give. We desire people to think with the same logic that we think with. We want others to think like we think, and it creates an appetite that usually cannot be fulfilled. I don't expect Brother Josh to think about everything here like I do. Say why? I've got about 25 years on him. I've got 25 years of experience on him that he does not yet have. Now, he thinks in many areas much like I do. But guess what? When he doesn't, I don't say, come on, you know better than that. You've been, no. I've been there. Last week, no. I've been there. When I don't think exactly like the leader thinks. Well, why should he? He's not me. He hasn't had the experiences I've had. How could he think that way unless I teach him to? Everybody understand that? fellas, ladies, you're not going to think like your boss. Too many of you want to logic as your boss logics, but you've not been in the positions that they've been in to think like they think. The hamburger flipper at McDonald's thinks he knows how to run the company. He doesn't even know where to find the clean flipper. Because the disc guy didn't come in on time, so he doesn't even know what to do. Now, did you know your boss happens to know things about where you work that you don't know? You may not like how it's run, but guess what? Not your company. Run it the way they want it, run it, and if it goes in the ground, it's their fault, not yours. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Did you know teenagers and adults don't think alike?
Amen.
Matter of fact, adults think, teenagers try to. We shouldn't expect them, even though they're in a mostly grown body, guess what? They're not going to think like we do. The older generation, be careful. You all grew up on farms. These kids never saw one. You may get frustrated because they don't think like you think. Guess what? They haven't had the experiences you have. Well, they should have. Where are they going to do it? Everybody doing okay? Just because you understand what you're thinking doesn't mean everybody else understands what you're thinking. Boy, let me tell you. You deal with the amount of people I deal with, and you're going to hear the preacher say every once in a while, hold it. What are you talking about? Who are you talking about? Well, you know, he said that. Okay, who's he? You know how many conversations I've had today? Well, I know who I'm thinking about. Okay, I know you do, but I don't have any idea what you're thinking about. Let's back up. Let me ask questions here because we're not on the same page and I'm not sure I'm in the same book right now. But many of you go through life expecting everybody to know what you're thinking. Guess what? We can't see your thoughts. For some of you, an empty page is pretty hard to read. Now, just because you understand something doesn't mean everybody else understands it. My dad is a mechanic. I am not. Matter of fact, the best of my ability, I can tell you how good of a mechanic I am. 1-800-MEL-BUSH. If it's broke, call Dad. If Dad's not available, call Brother Mike. Brother Mike's not there, call Brother Scott. And if not, we're waiting until somebody answers the phone. I mean, it's just, something's got to happen here. You say, why is that? Because I don't think in that realm. You give me this book and a church full of people, and I know how to think that way. And my dad doesn't want anything to do with that. He tried that once. One time, while the preacher was on vacation, called me and said, I got a mess. I said, yeah, you got a little one there. Let me help you out of that one there, Pop. Hey, he wasn't being unkind. He was really trying to help. But man, did he get suckered in. Boom, oh, he learned his lesson. We expect people to think the same way. Strife comes when statements like this are used. Why can't you see it my way? I just don't understand you. You're not making any sense to me. That's when the sparks start flying. In other words, you are the issue, not them. Everybody doing okay? Do you know how frustrating it is to preach to people on Sunday, and by Monday, they just went against everything you preached on Sunday? And then they call you and say, preacher, I got a mess. And you want to say, didn't you listen to me? But you've never heard me say that. Say, why? Because it's got to go in. Maybe I didn't communicate it right. Let me help you. We'll get through it. By the way, repeating the same logic when your logic has caused the strife is only going to create more strife. Just because you say the same thing doesn't mean anybody understands it any better. Folks, you can say the same thing 10 times and it's going to fail 10 times because nobody understood it. Now you did, but nobody else did. And then you get upset because nobody understands what you said. Everybody got that? All right, here we go. In other words, we need to learn to express ourselves differently than how we think for ourselves. I say this often and I'm about done. I don't lead you the way I lead me. Y'all wouldn't, you'd never come to church if I led you the way I lead me. I don't expect my wife to keep the schedule I keep. I go to bed at 11, get up at 2:30 in the morning, go to the airport. I don't expect my wife to do that. I'll do it, then work all day, get back to bed 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, get up before the next morning. She could do that for a day, but it would destroy her health. I'm not one that requires a lot of sleep, and I hate to sleep. To me, it's the biggest waste of time there is. I can't do nothing but sleep. And most of the time, I can't even sleep. So who cares? Get up and do something. That's just me. I don't expect everybody to live that way. Can I tell you something? Learning to accept how others are and learn to express how they need it. Sometimes your preacher's not going to give you the coddling you want. I might give you a little kick in the seat. So, well, this is what I needed. I hate to disappoint you. Sometimes I know what you need more than you know what you need. What you think you needed is what you wanted, not what you needed. There are times I'll give you what you need, whether you want it or not. Everybody doing okay? Now, I'm going to make one statement and I'm done. We need to grow up and realize there's a bigger world out there than just me and how I see it. Too many of us view life this way. And it's only through our eyes. If you learn to do that, you'll have less strife in your life. You'll have less contention in your life. And you'll learn to live peaceably with everybody. That's what, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Balance the equation, your desires with your possessions. If you can't have the possessions, you delight in the Lord, he'll give you what to want. And life is exciting that way. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I'm not going to belabor it. Many of us needed it tonight. But if you need to use the altar for a moment, we'll just run through a verse or two of the invitation.